We are on page 682. Okay. We started learning Aleph, Beis, and Gimel last time. We started Pasuk Dalet, but there's much more to talk about that we didn't get to last week. Okay, basically, Pasuk Aleph is, okay, Hashem spoke to Moshe. These are the Mayadim Hashem, Asher Tikra, Yisrael, Mikra, Kedish, you should call them. And like we learned, it says in the Torah, Eisam without a Vav, which means Atem. It's up to the Bezdin, even if they're intentional. Bezdin decides when the holidays are. And therefore we said last week that on Yom Tov we say Mekadish Yisrael v'Hazmanim. And on Shabbos, we just say Mekadish Shabbos, because Shabbos is what's called Mekadish V'Kaima. Shabbos is holy by itself. Hashem makes the seventh day holy, and the Jews make Yom Tov holy. But the Kleiokas says an interesting thing. And what does it mean? There's a number of explanations, but he says one of the explanations of Asher Tikru Eisa Mikroi Kedish, you should call them Mikroi Kedish. Now we know the Yomim Tevim, or they're called the Chagim, are basically eating and drinking and Simcha. But the Pasuk is saying, according to the Kleiokas explanation, Asher Tikru Eisam, you need to call them holy. In other words, a person, when it comes Yom Tov, granted there's a mitzvah to eat and to drink and to be happy and so on and so forth, but, you know, the main part of the Yom Tov is to be a holy day. So people should call it, meaning learning and davening and things like that. It shouldn't only be, you know, for you. Just have the good time. Asher Tikru Eisam, you need to call them Mikrei Kodesh. You mean you need to make them holy by acting holy on the holiday, and it's just not eating and drinking, have a good time. In fact, the Gemara says that Bezdin would send out messengers on the Chagin to make sure people didn't get drunk, people didn't overdo it, people didn't... the court sent out messengers to make sure people behaved on the Yom Tov. Okay, now it says, Eilei Me'adei, these are the Yom Tov. And he says like this, 6 days you should do work, B'yei Mashvi, Shabbos, Shabbosim, Mikra Kedesh, it should be Shabbos. Now, Mefoshim pointed out an interesting concept that there is, biblically, not in outside rights as well, but biblically, there's 6 days of Yom Tov. The first and last day of Pesach, the first and last day of Sukkot, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay? So you have 2 days Pesach, 2 days Sukkot, which are, you know, Chag, not Chol HaMoed. So if you think about it, there's two, and one Shavuos, and Shabbos is also number seven, which is equal to all the seven Yom Tovim together. And that's where the Pasuk says like this, Shabbos Shabbos in Mikra Kedesh. Even Yom Tov is also called Shabbos. We'll soon see in the Pasuk, Mimachar is a Shabbos. Yom Tov is also called Shabbos. But Shabbos, because it's the seventh, and there are 7 days of Yom Tov, Shabbos equals all of them together. Kol Melacha Leisa'asu, you're not allowed to do any work. Shabbos Yil Hashem, it's the concept of Shabbos B'chomesh V'Sich. Okay, now the next Pasuk says like this, Eile Me'adei Hashem, these are the appointed Yomim Tevim of Hashem, Mikrei Kedesh, holy days, Asher Tikru Eitham B'me'adam, that you have to call them in their time. Now the question is, the Pasuk just said that. In Pasuk Beis, it says, Me'adei Hashem, almost verbatim. And then in the middle it comes to Shabbos, and then it goes back again to the same exact Pasuk about Yom Tov. So number one, why is it separated between Shabbos and Yom Tov? So number one, we learned last week, because the Gemara says, if you keep Shabbos, if you keep Yom Tov, it's like you keep Shabbos. You don't keep Yom Tov, it's like you don't keep Shabbos. But the Rashi says an interesting thing. There's two things of Bezdin over here. Bezdin has to do what's called Iber Hashanah, leap years. And the second one, Rashi says, that refers to the days of the month. Okay? Kamedabim Kiddush HaChedesh. Meaning as follows. There's two things that Bezdin had to do. Number one, Bezdin had to figure out when Rosh Chodesh was, like we learned last week at great length. And then Beis Din also had to figure out when you make a leap year or not. There's two types of things. Every month Beis Din had to figure out when Rosh Chodesh was based on the testimony of the witnesses. And then every so often Beis Din had to make what's called a leap year. A leap year is we have two others. Now what's this concept of a leap year? So the Gemara explains the solar calendar has 365 1/4 days. Give us the solar. That's why every 4 years we have February 28th, right? Because to make it equalizing for the 365 1/4. But parenthetically, while we're on the topic, it's the New Year's type of year. This is a new calendar that starts from January and ends by December. Okay? The calendar used to be the Gregorian calendar, I think it was called, started in March. March 1st was the first day of the year, and it ended in February. That's why February is the shortest month of 28 days. And every 4 years, we make 29 days, because again, it's 365 1/4 days. This all has to do with Yashka, by the way. If Yashka was born December 25th, his bris was New Year's. Right? Same day of the week. So if he was born December 25th, whatever, it's questionable even in Halacha when he was born. And his bris was Yom Kippur. His bris was New Year's. So they say, this is what some people say, that they started the calendar based on that. Okay? But that's parenthetically. But really, the calendar used to begin in March, and which makes sense. That's why February is the least days. And February, you add the last day of the year, you add the extra day. Okay? But anyway, in the solar calendar, which by the way is a basis in Torah also, we say it in Peter Makteris, you know, the Makteris correspond to 365 days of the year and so on. So, the Jewish calendar, the lunar calendar, has 354 days. The solar calendar, the January, the Goyish calendar, has 365 days. That means you're missing 11 days per year, from 354 to 365. So the lunar calendar is 11 days shorter per year. After 3 years, you can have 33 days less. It's going to be keep getting less. After 10 years, you're going to have 110 days less. Correct? Because the year keeps getting shorter. Lahavdol, the Muslims have a lunar calendar, but they don't have the leap year like we have. Why is there a leap year in Torah? Because the Torah says Pesach has to be b'chodesh ha'aviv, in spring. That's what the Torah says. Ki b'chodesh ha'aviv hetziach Hashem in Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out in the spring. So Pesach needs to be in the spring. If you keep losing 11 days of the year, you're going to have Pesach in certain cities with a big snowstorm. It'll be in middle of December. It's going to keep getting less and less and less. So therefore, the Torah said, okay, and this is again up to Beis Din, that Beis Din every so often makes a leap year. What do? We add a 13th month, a second Adar, to the calendar. Why Adar? Because the month, the lunar calendar, begins in Nisan. Like we learned in Pasha's Bow, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, the month of Nisan is the first of the months. So, and Nisan always has to be in the spring. So every so often, Beis Din would make what's called a leap year. Now in order to make a leap year, there was a very complicated thing. When to figure it out, when to do it or not. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in many places discuss, it had to be done through the big Beis Din, and the Av Beis Din had to be there, and if he was outside, it was a whole problem. If he was outside of Eretz Yisrael, they met, and sometimes it took days for them to figure out if they needed to make a leap year or not. So this is the second thing that Beis Din had to figure out. So Rashi says the first Pasuk Beis, where it says, Merde Hashem Asher Tikrei Samishrei Kedesh, that's the concept of Beis Din figuring out the leap year. This Pasuk Dalid, refers to Bezdin figuring out when Rosh Chodesh is. Now, the way our calendar is set up, now we don't have Bezdin anymore with the witnesses and all that. We have the calendar that was set up yet in the time of the Mishnah. But the grandson of, like we mentioned last week, but the grandson of the famous Hillel, had a grandson whose name was also Hillel. And he set up the calendar based on the calculations of the Torah. So he set up a 19-year calendar. And the Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh elaborates on all the details of how they set it up. But primarily the point is that in 19 years, if you have 12 out of the 19 regular years, and 7 of the 19 leap years, okay? So in that 19-year cycle, the solar calendar and the lunar calendar equal out exactly. Basically, it equals almost exactly. So therefore, Bezdin had to make a leap year, and the month that was done was Adar, because it's the last month of the year. Okay? And they also had to figure out when Rosh Chodesh was. So these are the two things Bezdin needed to figure out, that the Torah is giving them the authority of to do it, and how to do it, and that they need to do it. Okay, so it says, Ela me'ade Hashem, asher tikru eisam. Okay, this is the concept of actual Rosh Chodesh, like we said, the new month based on the testimony of the two witnesses, asher tikru eisam me'ayadam. Now the Gemara is going to call, to go about the Yom Tevim. Now, the Yom Tevim, just before we go into that, are called the Shalish Regalim. Okay, now why is the Regalim? Why? What's wrong?
I didn't understand. What did you say? It's
Shalosh. Regalim. Oh. Even if you look in the Siddur on top, it says Tefillah L'Shalosh Regalim. Now the Yomim Tevim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, by the way, are called the three Regalim because the Torah says they all have to go up Regal by foot to the Beis Hamikdash. So because every Jew had, the men, had an obligation to go up to Yom Tov on the Regal, it was called Eila Regal, because they went up by feet. So therefore the Yom Tov became called also the Shalosh Regalim. Okay? But in a deeper sense, why is it called Regal? Because even when a Jew is excited and a Jew is happy in Yom Tov, he has to do it like a foot soldier. You have in battle, you have the generals, they're the head people, you know, the cup mention, they figure out all the head, with the head, how to work. Then you have the foot soldiers. The foot soldiers don't make plans, they don't make decisions, they just do what they're told. So it says in Chassidus, one of the reasons why the Yom Tovim, the Chagim are called Regel, because even though a Jew is Simchan, even though they're happy and excited and everything, nevertheless, they need to know that it's a regal, you do it as a foot soldier, not as a big macher. In fact, it's very interesting. The Rebbe once spoke a lesson of chess. Many tzaddikim play chess, and many tzaddikim learned a lot of lessons from chess. But one thing the Rebbe once explained, a lesson from chess, you have all different types of pieces. Yeah? You have the rook and the castle and the knight and then the king and the queen. And then you have the pawns. The pawns, you know, nobody knows how to play chess. The pawns are the very simple people. Okay? Yet, only the pawn, when he gets to the other side of the board, can become what he wants. With the exception of the king. He can become a queen, you can become whatever you want, not a king. Why? Because ein lanu melech ela ochad. There's only one God. King, Hashem, melech is only one. But it's interesting, the knight and the bishop and the horse, they cannot become a queen. They can only stay what they are. Only the foot soldier so to speak, the simple soldier that cannot cut and move in the, you know, only it goes one space at a time. It can take off, okay, but normally it can only go one space at a time. He's the only piece that can only, besides the king, that can only go one piece at one space at a time, except the first one, okay. So he says, the lesson is that Dafka, the foot soldier, to reach a level, when he accomplishes his mission and gets to the other side, he can do a mission that nobody else can get. He can become a queen. That was a very interesting observation of... My father, Oliver Shalom, used to say also, you know what the lesson of a chessboard is? Very simple. You know what the lesson of a chessboard is? This guy's a king, a queen, it is, and that's only when they're on the board. When they put you in the box, you're all the same. After 120 years, you're in the box. Kulam shavim. They're all equal. Nobody's better than anybody else. Anyway. Huh?
It's not funny, but it's true.
It's not funny, and it is funny, but it's true anyway. Yeah. Whether
it's funny and true.
It's funny and true. Okay, so now the Torah speaks about the Yom Tovim. B'chedesh Harishon, in the first month, b'arba'asa l'chedesh b'enu arba'im, in the 14th day in the afternoon, meaning Erev Pesach in the afternoon, Pesach l'Hashem. Now Pesach does not mean the Yom Tov. And there's a very interesting note that the Mefarshim explained, really comes from Rabbi Yitzchak Baditchev. There is, the Yom Tov in Chumash is never called Pesach. When it says Pesach, like Rashi says, it means you should bring a Korban Pesach. The 15th is Pesach, not the 14th. Dor says, on the 14th of the and afternoon, Pesach Lashem, you have to bring a Korban Pesach. Now, B'chamish HaSiyayim, on the 15th day, the Torah says, that's Chag HaMatzis, L'Hashem. Nowhere in Chumash, the Mefarshim point out, is Pesach called Pesach. It's called Chag HaMatzis. Yet, when we speak, nobody says, okay, where are you going for Chag HaMatzis? Everybody says, where are you going for Pesach? Right? Pesach's coming, Pesach. Nobody calls it Chag HaMatzis. So Mefarshim asks, why is that? So bringing down a few Mefarshim, but Ditchever also said, it's a beautiful thing. Hashem loves us, and we love Hashem. Therefore, we call the holiday Pesach. Why do we call the holiday Pesach? Because we thank Hashem for Passovering, jumping over. Pesach means to jump over. That he jumped over our houses when he killed the firstborn Egyptians.
It's the leap of faith.
Right. But we call it Pesach because of what Hashem did to us. Because we want to thank Hashem what he did for us, because we love Hashem. Hashem doesn't call Pesach what he did. He calls it Chag HaMatzis. What does Chag HaMatzis mean? The Pasuk says, when the Jews ran out of Egypt, they ran out so quickly, they didn't even know where they were going. They didn't even have food. They just ran out so fast that the dough became matzah. They didn't have a chance to turn into bread. That is Hashem's love to us. Hashem says, look how great the Jews are. They ran out from Egypt so fast with faith that they didn't even have a chance to become bread. So Hashem calls it Chag HaMatzis, out of love to us. We call it Pesach because of our love to Hashem. Therefore, even in davening, by the way, when we add, you know, the parts for Pesach, it's Chag HaMatzis. We don't say Chag Pesach. It's only in our language, in Jews' language, they call it Pesach. But davening and terror, you know, that's all called Chag HaMatzis. Now, just to explain a little bit, this concept, because it's relevant here and it's fundamental in Yiddishkeit. We did discuss it many times in shul by various different occasions, but to elaborate on it now a little bit also. The year is divided into two halves, Nisan and Tishrei, two major months. In fact, there's a whole argument in Gemara. When did God create the world? Did he create the world in Tishrei? Did he create the world in Nisan? When were the others born? When is Mashiach coming? I mean, there's tons of arguments between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua and the Gemara. What happened when? Pesach or Tishrei? Both are fundamental months of the year. Like we know, this is the first Nisan, and this is the concept of Tishrei. What's the difference, spiritually, between Nisan and Tishrei? And therefore, what's the difference in worshipping Hashem between Nisan half and Tishrei half? Nisan was what happened in Nisan, Pesach. Nigla aleihem melech malchei amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu ga'olam. God revealed himself to the Jewish people and he redeemed them. That's what happened. The Jews, as we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, that Adam ve'eriyah, the Pasuk says, you were naked, you had no mitzvahs, you had nothing. What was Nisan? Nisan was a revelation from above. God revealed himself to the Jewish people. Nigla aleihem melech malchei HaKadosh Baruch Hu uga'olam. Hashem revealed himself to the Jews and he redeemed them. There's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, if you have a dream, in Gemara Brachos there's like 5 pages all about dreams. If you dream this, what it means. If you dream this, what it means.
What is it?
The Gemara Brachos. Around Daf Nun Dalad, if you want to be more exact, yeah. But the Gemara says over there like this. If you dream a dream, and you have a word in the dream that begins with a nun, the Gemara says, Nisim Nasali. Miracles are going to happen to you. Because nun is the first letter of Nais. If you dream a word with two nuns, Nisi Nisi Nasali. Miracles and miracles are going to happen. Okay? Look at the word Nisan. It begins with a nun, ends with a nun, and the whole word is Nais. So Nisan represents the Aveda of revelation from above. Tishrei, on the other hand, represents the concept of tshuva. Tishrei. But the tshuva, the Elul, Tishrei, concept of tshuva. What is tshuva? Not God coming to me, but rather me returning. Tshuva means to return. Shuv. I am returning to God. So that is what's called milmata lemaila, from lower to higher. That's why look at the word Tishrei. Tishrei is spelled the Aleph Beis backwards. How do you spell Tishrei? Tav, Shin, Reish, Yud. It's the Aleph Beis starting from the end, going up. Which again represents the Aveda of the Jew. So there's two main parts of the year. There's the year where God reveals himself to us, and there's a year, Tishrei year, that is the Aveda that we need to do. There's the Aveda of the world, so to speak. And God's Aveda is revealing himself from above. Therefore, when there's an argument in the Gemara, if God created the world in Nisan, or God created the world in Tishrei, how can you have an argument and a fact? Did he or didn't he? Did he do it in Nisan or did he do it in Tishrei? When did God create the world? So the answer is both are right. The actual creation was in Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah. That's why Rosh Hashanah we go to 5770 and next year 5771 and so on and so forth. What is the purpose of creation? To reveal godliness in the world. So both are right. The purpose of creation is Nisan. To reveal Nais from higher to lower, reveal godliness in the world. The actual creation, that started from Tishrei. It's the Aveda of the Jew. And you have many issues like that also, but this is Tam an introduction because we have Yom Tevim in Tishrei, Yom Tevim in Nisan. So this is the Aveda, basically, the difference between Pesach is the revelation of above, Tishrei and the other, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, that's the Aveda of the Jew elevating himself to Hashem. Okay, so the Torah says like this, V'chodesh HaRishon, in the first month, which again is Nisan. Pesach la Abasi Machid bin Abim Pesach Lashem. Chamisha Asi Yem Lachidish Hazeh, on the 15th day of the month. Chaga Matzus Lashem, it should be Matzus, Chaga Matzus meaning what we call Pesach. Shivas Yomim Matzus Techelum. You should eat matzah for 7 days. Okay? Now, there's a very interesting contradiction in the various different psukim. Here the Torah says, Shivas Yomim Matzis Techelu, which, just learning it simply means, you have to eat matzah for 7 days. Another pasuk says, Sheishas Yomim Techel Matzis. Not here, in a different parsha, it says, you should eat matzah for 6 days. Another pasuk says, Bo'erev Techelu Matzis. At night you have to eat matzis. Okay? So, there's a rule that we say every day in Abi Shmuel. Davar shayu b'chlal. V'yotze min haklal l'lamed. L'lamed alatmi yotze, l'lamed al klei kula yotze. Okay? Which means in practical language, the Gemara learns out from these psukim the following. You only have to eat matzah the first night. I eat the 7 days, 6 days. 6 days teaches us that just like the 7 days optional because it's a six, that means all 6 days are optional. When it says, you have a mitzvah to eat matzah the first night of Pesach. What happens for the rest of Pesach? You can't eat chametz. What happens if I don't want to eat matzah? I don't want to wash. I want to eat potatoes and meat and if you fry the rice and everything else. But I'm not interested in eating matzah every day of Yom Tochol HaMoed. I don't want to wash. There's no obligation to eat matzah. I, the Torah says here, Shivas Yom HaMatzis Techelu, which implies you have to eat matzah for 7 days. The Gemara learns out from the various different psukim together that you only have to eat matzah the first night. And outside of it, so both nights, you know, because we don't know which day. But you cannot eat chametz, but you don't have to eat matzah. So now that this pasuk means shivas yomim matzis techelu, that if you're eating, you have to eat matzah, not chametz. But there's no mitzvah to eat matzah 7 days. There are interesting. There's opinions in halacha that say you have no mitzvah to eat matzah for 7 days, but when you do, you get a mitzvah.
Yeah, because I talked about washing on Yom Tov.
I'm not talking about Cholamid. There's no obligation to wash.
But he's saying it's Yom Tov.
I understand, but Cholamid, there's no obligation to wash.
You drink wine, eat meat.
You have to eat meat and drink wine, but there's no obligation to wash. So therefore, the pasuk says, Shivas Yom Matzis Techa means, if you're eating, you need to eat matzah, not chametz, but you don't have to eat matzah either. What?
She woke up.
What? Okay. Bayayim Arishim Mikra Kedesh, on the first day, it should be a holy, here it says in the convocation, meaning it's a holy day, called Melechas Aveda Leisasu. You cannot do what's called Melechas Aveda. Now, what is the din of Melechas Aveda? Because other places, by Shabbos, if you see before in Pasuk Gimel, the Torah says, Kol Melocha Leisasu. You can't do any Melocha. Here it says, Melechas Aveda Leisasu. What's the difference? From here, the Gemara learns out, and later the Torah also says it clearly, that on Yom Tov, you're allowed to do certain things that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. I.e. cook. Or things pertaining to cooking that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. Because by Shabbos, the Torah says, Kol Melocha Leisasu, any Melocha. And here it says, Melechas Aveda, which means hard type of work. But basically, the Gemara says the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is the concept of cooking, or necessary things. Like, you can carry on Yom Tov, if there's no air, I'm saying, you can carry on Yom Tov things that you need for Yom Tov. Even though it's not really cooking. But you can carry things because this is the leniency that the Torah gives for Yom Tov. So Bayam Arishim Kirkej Yacham Kamlach Saveda Le Sasu. The Ramban learns what does Malachas Aveda means, laborious work, like working in a factory, a field, or something like that, but pleasure, like for food and things like that, you're allowed to do. V'kraftam isha l'Hashem shivas yamim. You need to bring a fire offering to Hashem for 7 days, because every day there's a korban musaf that was brought on Pesach. V'yayim ha-shvi mikirkeidish, again, the 7th day is Yom Tif. You cannot do any laborious work, meaning, again, whatever you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. Now, what does it mean over here? It means, like we said before, you have to bring the Korban Musaf. Why does the Torah say about bringing Korban Musaf now? For the 7 days, because even though Chol HaMoed you're allowed to work, relative to Yom Tov, you can work. So nevertheless, the Korban Musaf you have to bring anyway.
Every day
of Yom Tov. In fact, there was a difference between Pesach and Sukkot. Pesach was the same Korban Musaf every day. Same example of animals, everything the same. Sukkot every day was different. Every day change the Korban Musaf. Because the regular sacrifices, that was the same every day of the year. The additional Korban, so all the days of Pesach had the same Korban, and Sukkot every day changed. And it corresponded to the 70 bulls, corresponded to the 70 nations, but every day went descending order, so it was a different Korban every day. That's this concept of Pesach. Now, before we go further, this concept of Pesach, the Korban is called Pesach, because Hashem passed over the houses, but in a spiritual sense, like we just said, what is the concept of Nissen? Revealing the supernatural in the natural. Okay, that's the concept, revealing from above the supernatural into the natural. So that is what the Yom Tov of Pesach is all about. Pesach means to jump, to pass over. Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is the concept of Pesach. Mitzrayim, we learned in the past, comes the word Meitzarim Ugvulim, Meitzar, or the root of Mitzrayim is Tzad, Tzadik Resh, which means narrow, oppression, because when you're oppressed, you're narrowed in. So, the concept of Pesach and the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in a spiritual sense, what does the Yom Tov mean? A Jew needs to leave their boundaries and limitations in a way of jumping. What's the difference between walking and jumping, or passing over? Walking, every step is connected to the first step. Right? You walk one step, another step, another step. When you jump, they're not connected. That means you skipped over the normal routine of going. Which in the spiritual sense, and this is what the Gemara says, we say it in our Gada, B'chol dar v'dar, chayiv adam liris esatzme kilu hu yotzim mitzrayim. Every generation, a person needs to appear to themselves as if they left Egypt. In Tanya, the Alter Rebbe adds to this, not only b'chol dar v'dar, what the Gemara actually means, is b'chol yom v'yom. That's what every day in Shema, we add the third parsha of Shema of Tzitzis. Why do we add that parsha of Tzitzis? Not because of Tzitzis. Because of the last pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Etzeisi Eschem Me'aretz Mitzrayim. We want to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kol Yemei Chayecha, every day of our life. That means every day of a Jew's life, because like we learned many, many, many times, when you have a Yom Tov, it's not only the lesson of the Yom Tov and that's it. The lesson of the Yom Tov is supposed to last for the entire year. But it's emphasized on the day of Yom Tov. Like Shavuos, Hashem gave us the Torah. Every day He gives us the Torah. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Noisein, present tense, Lashon Ha'iva, Noisein HaTorah. We don't say Nosan HaTorah. Because every day Hashem gives us the Torah. It's emphasized more on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Pesach is every day. Kol Yimei Chayach. What does Pesach mean in the practical sense, Yitzias Mitzrayim and all that? It means very simple. How does a person reveal the infinite within the limited? That is done by breaking our nature. The nature of the person, our character, that is our limitation. That's what we're limited in. What we're used to is what we're limited in. When a person wants to change their nature, that's very difficult. That is the concept of Pesach jumping. That's the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Torah is teaching us what is this concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim of Pesach, that every day of our life we need to go out of our previous day's limitations. Whatever we were accustomed to, you have to break the nature. That's Pesach, that's jumping, and that's Yetzias Mitzrayim, going out of our boundaries and limitations. And that's the only way a Jew could do it. When a Jew does that, when we break our finite nature, then we actually reach the infinite God.
But at the same time, we have to be very constant. We have to go to school 3 times a day, we have to pray, we have to...
Not the same way. Not the same way.
By breaking the nature every time you pray.
You know, by the way, you're bringing up an interesting point, which is connected to what we just discussed. In the Hebrew calendar, there's no really year. It's called Chodesh. Okay? The solar calendar is called Shana. Technically in Hebrew, there's no year. It's months. Chodesh, 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 Chodesh. It's called the lunar calendar. Not the solar calendar. The lunar calendar is monthly. The solar calendar is yearly. What's the difference in Hebrew? It's remarkable. You see how everything in Torah is so great. How do you say year in Hebrew?
Shana.
Shana. You know what Shana means? To repeat.
Uh-huh.
Shana.
Mm-hmm.
To repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Chodesh.
Chidush.
Chodesh. Okay? So, in Yiddishkeit, Chodesh means Chidush.
Mm-hmm.
Solar calendar, Shana, you just repeat the same old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in Yiddishkeit, you have both things together.
Yeah, you need both.
When you have a leap year, to make the Shana and the Chodesh
one.
So you have both Avodas together. And in fact, in davening, just to show you the expressions that Chazal give us, how profound they are, in davening of Musaf, we say the expression like this: "Tamidim kisidram, umusafim kihilchosam."
Mm-hmm.
What does that literally mean? Tamidim, the everyday karbanes kisidram in the order, umusafim and the carbon Musaf kihilchosam, like the halacha is of banging the carbon. It's simply what it means. In the deeper sense, it means like this: there has to be two avedas. There has to be carbon tamid constant, like you said, every day the same. But there has to be also musaf. What is musaf al-safa, to add? To midim kisidram. When you do the carbon tamid, when you do every day the same avaida, like you're saying, that's kisid, that's only seder. That's limitation. Musafim, when you do hosafa, then it becomes kihilchos, not only like the halacha, it becomes halicha, it becomes going, moving on. So you have both things. From one side in Yiddishkeit, you have the concept of every day the same shachris minchamay, you know, the same avayda, the same, but there also has to be within them an addition. Always growth. That growth, that's the concept of Pesach.
Mm.
That's why Pesach is the first of the months, Chodesh, Chidush, Chodosh. Pesach is the first of all the Chodesh. Because Pesach represents a new Avodah, Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving your limitations, not only your bad limitations, not only the evil Egypt, any limitation. You learn 10 minutes a day. That becomes your habit. You need to go out of your habit. You need to learn 11 minutes a day. And that causes a Jew to reach a much higher level. Tishrei doesn't do that. Tishrei is the Jew going mamata lamayla, going up. Gradual. Not nes. Not a revelation from above like Nisan. It's teva. And that's why, when did God create the world? Teva. In Tishrei. When did Hashem do miracles? In Nisan. Because these represent, it's not only months and names and, you know, it's Avodah. It's what it represents in a Jew serving Hashem. Okay? Hashem created the world in Tishrei. Because Teva, nature, is Tishrei. That's the nature. In miracles, Nisan, Yitzias Mitzrayim, that's miracle day. And that's the Avodah of the Jew. Okay. Okay, now we're finished with Pesach. Let's go to the Omer. Okay, Vayidaber Hashem, Pasuk Tes. Vayidaber Hashem on Moshe Lemer, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the Jews. V'amar to Aleim and say to them like this, Ki Yisavei al Ha'aretz, when you will come to the land, Asher Ani Neisen Lachem, that I'm giving you, meaning Eretz Yisrael, Uksartem as Ksira, you will reap its harvest. V'aveithem as Eimer, you have to bring the Eimer, Reishis Ketzirchem, the beginning of your cutting, El HaKayin to the Kayin. Now, this din of like this, we know, everybody knows, Sfiris Ha'Eimer, you know, but that's, the Torah speaks about it here also, by the way. But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Jews were not allowed to eat from the new crop until the Korban Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach. Okay? There was a Korban Omer. That's why it says, count from the day that they brought, that's why it's called Sfiras HaOmer. The Omer was a Korban Omer, which was, we'll soon see what it is. The Korban Omer was, it's a measure, dry measure containing a volume of 43.2 eggs. Now, just in our language, an egg according to Halacha is 2 ounces. So you're talking about approximately 86 ounces of flour. Now, grain of the new crop cannot be used for temple offerings until the bread offering below also. Now, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and this is, by the way, questionable if it applies today or not, and I'll explain where we see the thing. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they were not allowed to eat the new crop of grain until the Korban Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach. Okay? Nowadays, it's no Beis HaMikdash. When the Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael, it applied that when the second day of Pesach was over, then you were allowed to eat the new crop. Okay? Now everybody knows, a number of years ago, people woke up with this. Some Chassidish Shalom is not so makpid in it. But you ever hear, is a bakery Yoshan? They talk about Yoshan, and Yoshan, if you could eat it, it's Yoshan. They all talk about these things. What does that mean? Huh?
Here, all the time at pizza station, is everything Yoshan?
Okay, because so many people are careful in Yoshan.
Yes.
What does Yoshan mean?
Old.
Yoshan means old. Okay? But what does it mean in reference to pizza stores or bakeries or mm-hmm. If the crop, let's say, was harvested in Cheshvan. So until Pesach, like we said, if you're makpid in the midst of Chodosh, that means you can't eat the new crop until the second day of Pesach, so you can't eat from that grain until the second day of Pesach. Once the second day of Pesach passed, that permits the grain to be eaten. So Yashin means older grain, meaning basically that it wasn't used until Pesach passed, and now they're using this grain.
So what? It's used. You can eat it. You cannot eat before they bring the korban.
In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, nobody was allowed to eat grain
until they bring the korban.
Until they brought the korban Amir.
The new grain.
Okay, but now
from the new season.
What's that to do with it? Because we don't have the
Bitanim. Right. So many Paskim write that the din of Chodesh doesn't apply today. Many Paskim write it does apply today. But the Gemara says if there's no Beis Hamikdash, even when the Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael, so the day itself permits the grain to be eaten. Mm-hmm. Even though we don't have a carbon with the Beis Hamikdash. So according to that, if the dough was, and they mark it when it was harvested, to know if a Pesach went by, which permits that old grain to be eaten. I don't know.
But how do you know when you buy grain at stores?
So the stores that are careful in Yashin know, the companies and the dates on it and all that.
Yeah, but I mean a lot of grains don't have that on there.
So you're talking about like...
When the bakeries buy flour, it's stamped when it's made. Flour.
Huh?
Talk about flour.
Do oats count?
Yeah, I needed 5 grains.
So does it say it on process?
A lot of baked goods, and they could the from companies will say Nasis mikemach yoshan.
So it's not baked. If it's raw, it doesn't count.
No, they wouldn't eat it either until Pesach. Until Pesach.
How come some people keep it till Shavuos? What's that about?
Huh? I don't know.
You won't come?
No, in the time of the... in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Because they had to bring the Shtei Alechem. But we'll see that soon.
But doesn't apply today.
What? The Yoshin?
Yeah.
So I'm according to many opinions, it does.
No, I'm saying today. Like today.
Today
is... In Chutlars. Heaven.
Right.
So there's no issue anymore.
Why? If there's grain that's harvested in Cheshvan.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is, but let's say it is. Right?
Yeah.
So they couldn't eat it now.
Anything that was harvested after Pesach.
You have to wait until...
Wait all the way around until the next Pesach.
Right. Correct.
So if there's 3 harvests out of a year...
So that's why there would be old grain.
So the grain could be more than a year.
Not more than a year, but...
But it's so complicated. I mean, once you do the food, how would you... they're going to go open the food and know which grain...
Don't they know. They work...
It's ridiculous. If you buy something at the store, you're going to sit and say, oh, the oats was harvested, let me think.
Yeah.
It's already cooked and baked.
Some things people know already how long it is processed and when the company made it.
But
for
you, it's the option.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You take a grain bar from OU, that's OU.
I don't know if the OU...
Not. You have to go online to the people that keep the
Yashin
thing you go to
when
they say return.
Anyway, this is...
The
big thing
is this
yeah, this is the source, but... hello? This pasuk is the source of that whole Yashin bit. The only question is, it's a machlekes in Paskim. If it applies today in Chutz La'aretz, does it apply only when all the Eden are in Eretz Yisrael? Because it says, Ki Sevei Ola Oretz. So there's a big argument in Paskim, in the old Allah, the Bach. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of years ago.
Okay, so traditionally, how does Chabad keep?
Let's not get into that. Some do, some don't.
So it's an individual thing. There's not a standard by Chabad.
Throughout the Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, it comes out, you have to keep it. There's a Tshuvan Tzemach Tzedek. You don't have to keep it necessarily. Some keep it, some don't.
Is that after it being in Chutz La'aretz?
I'm talking about being in Chutz La'aretz.
Not for sure, but
no, even Bismanos and Etzisol would be a question. Question if it applies today, Bechlal. Some Paschimolder does, some Paschimolder doesn't.
harvest, keep the grains for 1 year, it will go rotten.
No, they have it in a way that it, they store it in a way that it doesn't.
So they have to store it the way and right. Until the next
Pesach. Or they'll only take, let's say, from the last harvest, which is not a whole year, like whatever, you know.
What do we learn from this halacha?
Of what?
Harvesting. What is Hashem's telling us?
The reason why Hashem, in fact, they say here at the bottom, this is from the Meshech Chochma, but this is Bechlal. The whole agricultural system, yeah, is to remind the Jew that whatever grows is because Hashem gave it to us. There's a famous Yerushalmi that says about farmers, Ma'amin b'chaye olam v'zareya. They trust in God and they plant. Because you need to trust in God for rain, you need to trust in God that there shouldn't be winds that are going to destroy the crops or whatever it may be, right? So the whole concept, in fact, it's too late now, and next week there's no class, by the way. I'm out of town, but...
Oh, so because of the holidays?
No. In 2 weeks. Huh? In 2 weeks, yeah, whether you're here or not. All the Yom Tovim, basically, are agricultural. Chag HaKotzer, Chag HaAsif. Yeah, one's Chag HaKotzer, one's Chag HaAsif.
That's what I was saying, I think there's 3 harvests a year.
No, there's still, no. Pesach, they planted, they cut it Shavuos, and then they let it stay in the field until Sukkot to dry up, and Sukkot are gathered into the house. It depends which, some fruits also were gathered different times, and grains different times. But the point is that when a Jew plants a field, and this way all so many mitzvahs are given, you have a field, you have to leave the corner of the field for the poor people. This, you have to give this. You have to give the coin, truma, mitzvah, you know. Hashem wants to remind the Jew that it's my field. I'm letting you use it. So I'm not asking you for all the grain. So I said, I just want you to keep in mind, you do certain percentages to me, to the poor people, to the Kohanim, whatever it is. And Hashem wants us to know that a person, the farmer, keeps in mind that it's all from Hashem. That's the purpose of it.
So the farm these days is our money, right?
Huh?
How we manage our money. So how we manage our farm.
Whatever it is. Hashem says, I give you money. I'm not asking you for 90% of my mess. 10% you have to give it to tzedakah. I'm not asking for 95%. Hashem says, listen, I'm just, all I'm asking is for a little bit. And even the day of the Jew, Hashem says, give me a little davening, a little learning, and the rest of the day is yours, you know. And this is especially by the Yom Tovim, where the Yom Tovim are connected to agricultural things, because there is a certain uniqueness in the earth that nothing else has. I mean, nothing personal, but earth and women, which are both in Kabbalah, the level of Malchus, have a certain uniqueness to it that nothing else in the world has. For instance, the God's ability of creating Geshmi Ayin, something from nothing, or Ex Nihilo, as it's called in the fancy books, Geshmi Ayin, something from nothing, only two things in this world have that ability to do, relatively speaking. You plant a seed in the ground, the seed rots, it has to rot, or they call it germinate, whatever they call it in English, and only after it rots and becomes totally nothing, bittul, the earth makes from a tiny seed a massive tree or fruit or grain or whatever it may be. Women take what's called the tipa serucha, the putrid drop from the husband. It was called putrid drop, tipa serucha, the rats. Yeah? And only the woman could create a baby from it. So the earth in Torah was a focal point of the Jews. It was an agricultural country, Israel, in the time of the Jews in living in Israel, to be the Mikdash and everything. Because that uniqueness of the earth is because the origin and the source of the earth is of such a high level. is such a high level that only it can personify, so to speak, God's ability of creating something from nothing.
First compliment for women.
That's what I said, with all due respect to the women.
Yeah.
I have to apologize.
Uh-huh.
Apologize to the men.
Just to say my fact, he's not a
he shouldn't, because without us, there won't be.
Yeah. I think God should have only made women.
Yeah.
Yep. The world would have been a much better place.
Oy vey.
You had some compassion. Okay, we'll give them some. We'll give you some change.
Okay. No, but that's why in the earthly things, you know, if you look at things, not only do everything that we eat basically is connected to the ground. We eat animals, but where do animals eat from? They also eat from the ground. They grow from what they eat from the ground, right? All precious materials, gold and silver and diamond and everything, is all from the ground. Right?
Children, it's from the mother. The nourishment comes from the mother initially.
Right, but I'm saying, in spiritual levels, mm-hmm. Malchus is women and earth, right. And therefore, when the Pasuk says, there's a Pasuk, I think it's in Yeshaya, Va'atem ti'li eretz chefetz, Hashem speaks to the Jewish people, you should be a desirable land for me. The Baal Shem Tov said, what does it mean, you should be a desirable land? Just like all precious materials come from the ground, but it's buried deep in the ground. And Hashem says, you know, if God wants us to have gold, He could have made it on top of the soil instead of buried deep that you have to go find it, right? So the Baal Shem Tov said, "Va'atem tili eretz chefetz," it means every Jew is like a land with treasures buried in it. You need to dig and you'll find it. Sometimes there's dust, you know, you could blow it off. Sometimes you need a little shovel. Sometimes you need a bulldozer. But it's there. You just got to find it. So the whole concept of the earth with agricultural and all that, which is the concept of Yesh Me'ayin, is actually a fundamental aspect of Yiddishkeit. That the treasures of the Jew don't come easy. You know, working in a field, thanks Chava, because she caused them to sin. So therefore, Bezeir Sepechot, see, we're getting back. No. Don't worry about it, guys. We're getting back.
She didn't.
Bezeir Sepechot, you had enough already today. Enough of the... Now let's get back to reality. So, no, but Hashem says, you want to get the growth? Hashem could have made... You know, think about it. Hashem could have made the earth just produce stuff on its own. Like it was before the Chatei Tzedas.
Like no?
Before the Chet. Yeah. Then Hashem said, you know what? You guys messed up. Now I want you to do something greater. This is all part of the plan.
See?
Hashem said, I want you to work to reveal the treasure. Because when you work and reveal the treasure, it's much greater, more appreciated than if you have it easy.
I have a question.
Okay, once again, next week there's no shiur, but in 2 weeks there is.